Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. We'll get back to the interview, the evening with Deshaun Watson, in just a moment. Deshaun Watson named AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the second time in 3 weeks today. If you hear anything in the interview that you want to chime in on, 713-572-4610 on the text page. We'll mix in some phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour, too, if you want to chat about it. And we'll certainly mix in some Astro talk between now and 10 o'clock as well. Seth, the one thing I'm sad for the people who weren't in the room last night that they're not going to get to see is the, because it doesn't translate to radio very well because it's very visual, was the film study portion that Clint Sterner and Deshaun Watson did.
Yeah.
I could have watched 3 hours of that.
Right, yeah. It was really cool to see, and they broke down a couple of plays, one being the Kenny Stills touchdown in the New Orleans Saints game where Deshaun made a few adjustments, a few reads during the play, but also what he really highlighted was how smart he was with the study of the opponent beforehand. And he knew that the Saints were showing a look that they had anticipated, but the Saints hadn't actually shown until that very play, and it was the look that they wanted. And Deshaun knew exactly how the safety was going to respond on that route, and he also knew that Duke Johnson was probably not going to receive the call. That Duke Johnson probably didn't hear the pass pro call, and that there was a chance he was going to do the wrong thing just because Duke had only been there a couple of weeks at that point.
New.
And it was so loud and all that. So that Deshaun adjusted based on that and kept an eye on where the pressure would be coming from. It's a lot of what looked to be a relatively simple play when you're just watching it in real time on television. Deshaun did a great, and Clint too. Clint set him up perfectly, did a great job of explaining how much goes into that.
And especially that play, I was thinking, as he was talking about that with Duke Johnson, I was thinking two things. One, which you just said, which is, there is so much that goes into the 10 seconds. There's a ton that goes into the 10 seconds after the ball's been snapped that you're reacting to very large human beings coming at you. But that's the thing I came away so impressed with. And it was a more visual version of what Deshaun seems to be doing in his post-game press conferences now, which is spending at least one answer explaining what the other team is doing, which I think is really cool. I dork out over it a little bit, and it's what made last night so cool. But I come away a little bit overwhelmed with how much goes into things happening before a play for a quarterback. Like,
right.
I almost feel bad criticizing quarterbacks now, like bad quarterbacks.
Well, it is true because so many times when you talk to quarterbacks about those situations, it comes down to how many hours they spent in film study or studying an opponent for that defense to show the look once.
Right.
And to find you're waiting for these moments where, oh, we've got them where we want them right this moment. And it only, like, it works out that you've got the right personnel on the field and the right plays called that, oh, wow, this is exactly what we want. But there's only, it's like digging for diamonds.
Yeah.
It's not like every single play you go out there and do it. It takes so much work. It's kind of like as a pass rusher. An awesome, awesome pass rusher has to rush the passer 50 times before he gets a sack. Quarterbacks have to do so much film study and so much work just to get these few
one
key
point.
Moments where it works out perfectly.
Yeah, it's crazy. The other thought that I had, and we'll get to Deshaun here in just a second, was Duke Johnson on the pass pro that Deshaun was concerned about. Laremy Tunsil's playing left tackle over there on the same side. Kenny Stills is on the receiving end of that touchdown on that play. That's a lot of new guys. None of those guys had taken a snap in a Texans uniform in that game, in that moment, in that play, and Deshaun made it work.
Yeah.
And they were all integrally involved. You know, they were all integral to that play. All right, let's continue with more about Deshaun Watson, and we lead in here with Deshaun talking about how proud Dabo Swinney was of Deshaun on draft night.
Back to Dabo Swinney for a second. What was your reaction before the draft when Coach Swinney very famously said that passing on Deshaun Watson would be like passing on Michael Jordan?
Actually, I wasn't surprised that he said it because that's how Dabo and that's how he feel about me. But I didn't know he was going to come out to the media like that, the Senior Bowl. So he kind of put me on the spot, and all the, you know, I had to answer all the questions. But, I mean, I'm just – I guess that's the player he's seeing me. And, you know, I was cool with it. I was fine with it. And, you know, I was never going to make him disappointed. I'm going to make him proud and do everything I can to – you know, one day become a player that's known like Michael Jordan.
Did any of the teams that you interviewed with before the draft ask you about Coach Sweeney's quote about the Michael Jordan thing?
They kind
of
did. It was more joking.
Yeah.
Because they kind of knew where he came from.
Right.
And then they knew for a fact, some teams knew that they weren't going to be able to, you know, get up towards me.
Yeah.
And some teams didn't need a quarterback at the time. So,
right.
It was just kind of varied.
You'll be glad to know that the day after you were drafted, Coach Sweeney came on my show. And when he was done comparing you to Michael Jordan, he was saying this.
I think there's a good culture and a good organization in place there in Houston. I think O'Brien is a heck of a coach. Obviously, he's got a good supporting cast around him. They got an excellent defense. JJ, you know, only think played last year. Of course, he gets to throw the ball to DeAndre. So I think it's a perfect fit, the perfect situation for him. And I think Houston just won a Super Bowl. I don't know if it's this year, next year, or the next, but it's coming. You just keep this recording. It's coming and coming soon.
We kept it. That was pretty cool. We kept that recording. Tougher, being compared to Michael Jordan or having your college coach promise multiple Super Bowls to your future city?
I think the Michael Jordan thing is probably the hardest. Everything he said in that was basically the same thing he told me when I was coming out for college, too. He said that I was going to graduate in 3 years, be a first-round pick, have opportunity to win a national championship, multiple national championships, have opportunity to win the Heisman. Everything that I want to accomplish, I'm going to have the opportunity to. And everything that he say, he don't just say it just to say it. He really means it, and he really feels it.
How strong is your vision with things like this? You've accomplished pretty much everything at an individual and a team level that you've set out to do. Like, is there a visualization process that you go through?
For sure. I always think about, you know, different situations, and I'm just kind of big on numbers. It's kind of weird. You know, coming in high school, you know, I won a state championship. First ever in my high school career after 100 years, my third year, my junior year in high school. Coming out of high school, I was a 12th overall player in the country. Going to college, I tore my ACL my rookie year, my freshman year, came back third year, won the national championship, 12th pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Rookie year, I tore my ACL.
Yep.
Came back, now it's third year.
Are you saying what I think you're saying? Love that. Absolutely, absolutely love that. You mentioned that you tore your ACL your freshman year, and you decided to play on a torn ACL in a rivalry game against South Carolina, right?
Right.
Yeah. Before going and getting surgery. Was that an easy decision for you, or was it hard to kind of balance your future and the injury deciding to play on a torn ACL?
It was easy for me, honestly, because I told Coach Sweeney at the time they were 0-5. Against South Carolina, and it was my freshman year, and I was a starter. And I just knew, like, I had to be on the field, you know, for us to have an opportunity to win this game and turn the streak around, that I had to be playing. And Coach Sweeney, he looked at me with the team doctor and was like, hey, is there any chance he can play? And the team doctor did his research and was like, yeah, we can brace you up, but you can't really run as usual. And so I was like, well, just brace me up. And so we kept it under secret until the day of the game, And that was one of my goals. I told Sweeney before I even committed and signed the papers that I'm never losing to South Carolina, and never did.
And you didn't. Nice job. Who inspires you?
A lot of people, but the biggest person is my mom,
mm-hmm.
my mother. I mean, everything that she went through, everything that she, you know, continued to, you know, just be grateful and thankful about life and just have a smile on her face. I mean, just looking into her eyes every day is just kind of my inspiration to keep going.
Does she text you before games?
She do.
What does she, you know, without going too deep, I don't want to dig too right. deep, but what is she, are they football texts? Are they, I love you, you're my son texts?
It's both. She kind of short form. She kind of just say, hey son, good morning. Hope you're doing well. She'll say a prayer for me. She's like, make sure the boys are locked in. Everyone on the same page. Watch the ball. Go out there, have fun, and I love you.
Good. Nice. Yeah. Nice. She like protect the football and things like
she,
that.
She always said that. That's number one.
Exactly. Exactly. Get rid of it quick, Deshaun, please. The Super Bowl was in Houston back in 2017. You were getting ready for the draft at that time, and you came here to Houston for Super Bowl week. What was that like? What were your was that the first time you'd been to Houston?
First time ever.
What were your first impressions of the city when you came here for the Super Bowl?
It's like a blur, honestly. It was so quick. I was so busy at the time. And it's funny because growing up, I never thought about coming to Texas. I never thought, like, I just never, I have no idea why I didn't. And then, of course, when I came to Houston for the Super Bowl, I didn't think I was going to be back a month later. And so once I got drafted and got here and got situated, man, it's one of the best cities. It's the best city in the country. I love it here.
That's awesome.
That was Deshaun Watson in our evening with Deshaun Watson last night. Deshaun knows the audience. That's where you go, Houston. And I think he truly feels that way about Houston. But when you're in a room full of Houstonians especially, you tell them how awesome Houston is.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.